Tave, if you remember, yesterday we started New Pair Exile. Just briefly go over it. The mission that we started yesterday from the New Pair. It's part of a general discussion that in Hilchos Yom Tov, when you're talking about a halacha, right, which would be Osar and Shabbos, Mutar and Yom Tov, because it's Melech Sechel Nefesh. Excuse me. And then that'll only be mutter in a case where it couldn't have been yesterday. Right, if it could have been easily done the day before, then it will not be mutter to leave it to do on Yom Tov. Right? Questions about what happens if you forgot, you're honest, whatever, is more complicated, but as a general rule, right? I should add, there is one other consideration that comes into this that I don't want to get into detail right now, but there is a question of what counts as being able to be done the day before. So I'll tell you, there's an interesting machlokes that shows up about making guacamole on Yom Tov, right? So making guacamole or egg salad involves crushing the eggs or the avocado, right? And then it involves mixing stuff in. So there's potentially two melachos involved, tochein, right, and lush, right? Kneading, mixing together two substances, that's true, so bread, for example, the kneading together dough is adding water to flour and then mixing them together is a typical case of lush. And now those two melachos, right, you can make egg salad or guacamole the day before. Right, and so the question, but they usually aren't much worse. So as a common quiet child, we ask, is it mutter to do that on Shabbos? Or iku min yom tov not on Shabbos? There might be other reasons to be making on, and this might not be a proper tochen, not a proper lash. It's a much more complicated discussion. I don't want to get into details on those particular shilas. Just be aware that this is a consideration that comes up. What counts as being able to be done before Yom Tov? How bidyevet is it if it were to be done before Yom Tov? Will factor into the decision. Okay. Fine. This is Gemara. V'raminu, we have a contradiction. Bibarin shel chayev shel ofu inside a member yom tovei noisin v'neim bezonos. You have a pen for animals, for birds. Then you may not hunt down the animals within them on yom tov, and you can't give them food. Kashya chaya achaya, kashya ofos aofos. So this seems to be a contradiction with the Mishnah, right? Whether it comes to Chaya, whether it comes to Ovis. Why? Because the Mishnah said you can catch animals and birds which were kept in a small enclosure in Yom Tov prior to checking them. So the idea is that they were brought there before Yom Tov, right, for that purpose. And you may feed them because the assumption is you're responsible for feeding them, right? So any animal which you're responsible to feed, you're allowed to feed. No? The response, well, it's Kashya. That's it. Where it says, Bishlam, Achaya, Achaya, Kashya, Harab, Yudha, Harabon. Distinction is, when it comes to the Chayos, the animals, This is not a problem, right? The distinction is between the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Anan. That's not so. We have a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Imer Atzadzi Por Le Migdal Tzvila Bais Chayav. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you were to herd a bird into a tower or a deer into your house, then you'd be chayav for tzeda. Right? Now you haven't really caught them properly. In this particular case, no. Right, they still need to be caught within that enclosure, but just the fact that you've confined them in there is a problem of tzeda, that is asur. Right? That is into a house. However, birim into a very small enclosure where it's really not much effort to require to catch them at all, that already would be mutter. Chachamim say that's true for a tzipor, for a bird into a migdal, into a tower, or for a deer into a garden, onto into a chotzer, into a yard, or into a biberin. Right there, you can't push a deer into there either. So this is machlokes. Can you push them into these pens? You can't push them into a house. You can push them into a pen. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Chacham say no, you can't even do that. And if it's kasha, what about the opinion about the oath, the bird? It sounds like with the birds, there's no machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Says maybe the distinction is between a pen which has a roof and a pen which does not have a roof, right? If you were to put a bird in a pen which does not have a roof, then you haven't really caught it. No? And it can fly away. So in such case, you for sure haven't done Seder. Right? And you'll say that when it said it's Asur, it's a bird, which it's in a pen which has a roof, and then when it's Mutter, it's in a pen which doesn't have a roof. And then that makes no sense, because Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan both agree that if you get them into this little tower which is designed to keep birds, right, into a bird coop basically, that's going to be Asur. That is Seder. But if you catch a bird in a house, that is not Seder. That's going to be Mutter, because a bird in the house is not really caught. Right?
Because it's like already caught.
No, a bird in the house is not caught. A bird house is going to fly around. They're going to crazy. Right? So therefore, it's too big a space. Right? A bird is a relatively small creature. So yeah, deer are fine, but a bird is a small creature. Right? So that means, right, that we do have a contradiction when it comes to birds. Right? Because it's not easy to say it's in this case, but not one of the Mishnahs talking about this case and the Brachos talking about that case. And it's not easy to say that one's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, one's Rabbanan, because we haven't heard that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan disagree on this point. Yeah? Everybody's with me so far?
We say that then the machloket is where there's a roof and where there isn't.
No, it suggests that maybe that was the not the machloket, that the mishnah of Bryce, we're talking about different cases. Right, one was talking about there is a roof, that's Asur. One was talking about there isn't a roof, that's Mutter. And they said, no, that can't be the case, because everybody agreed that catching a bird in a house is not an isdaraisa, minimally. Right, question of whether it's Asur midrabbanan or not is a machloket shonim. I don't want to get into it right now. Right, minimally it's not an Issa D'oraisa, right, and therefore, right, a pen with a roof is also shouldn't be an Issa D'oraisa.
I can ask the master, what about like catching a spider? People are scared of or allergic to.
Okay, so two separate questions you asked. And I will as always preface this with, you should ask Yonas Shai, I believe, with your Hilchos Shabbos Rebbe, right? Or Rav Mordechai, but I'll regal achas, right? The answer is that catching a spider is an Issur D'rabbanan to begin with. A spider is a creature which you don't usually want to catch. And if you want to catch, you don't want to do anything with it, you want to get rid of it. Right? And then it's called Ein Mino Nitzo. It's not something that's usually handed down. Right? It's Ein Mino Nitzo. It's not usually handed down. Right? If there's somebody who's going to have an allergic reaction to that spider, then it is mutter l'chatila mitzvah to get rid of it. Right? We're talking about kol kula and ithidur abonon. There's an initial point that's what's called melach chain of tzrichel gufa. You don't want the animal because you want the animal there. You want the animal somewhere else. You're going to catch it and let it go somewhere, right? So that's melach chain of tzrichel gufa. You're not catching it for the usual reason. Right? So therefore, that is... it's poshut. If there's somebody scared... Look, it depends on how strong the reaction is. Do you know what I mean? Depends on how much it's bothering them. Really, really, really terrified, not functioning. Then for sure you can get rid of it. Otherwise, find some other way of doing it. Maybe, you know, shunt it out of the house or things like that.
It's very possible to cover it with something. I don't know. Put tape underneath and move it somewhere else.
No, so like I said, like I said, if it's somebody who's really... If it's somebody who's really, really afraid of it, it's really causing a problem for them, I know people are terrified of spiders, so they run away the second they see that, then fine, move it. If it's talking about... if we're talking about someone who's... they'd prefer if it wasn't there. But it's not the biggest deal for them, and we're not talking about a poisonous spider or something that's dangerous. Right? Find some other way of getting rid of it. I would recommend. Okay? As in, like, you can always shunt it around with a piece of paper or something without actually catching it. Okay, fine. So that's where we are now. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, Hacha betzipur dror askina she'ena mekabeles morus. So, what must we be... Excuse me. We're talking about when we say it's mutter to catch a bird in a house which has a roof, obviously it's a house, right? We're talking about what's called a sipor dror, meaning a free bird. A free bird means a bird which is not domesticated, right? Therefore, it'll live wherever it wants, including in a house, including a field. It makes no difference to it. And if you catch it in a house, you haven't caught it. Right, that's why it's mutter, because it's just going to fly around. So you let a pigeon into your house, so the pigeon's not going to stay put. Right? that in such a case it would really be mutter the son of the Rabbi Shmuel's even brisa lemelam nikros shmati por dror shedara bevayis kesod. Why is it called tipor dror? Why is it called that tipor dror? Because it'll live wherever, it'll live in the field, it'll live in a house, doesn't matter, right? Says, if you're going to say that, then you also don't have a problem with the chaya. You don't have to say it's based on the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan about what counts as catching a chaya. How small does the space have to be, right? You can just say that everybody agrees that catching this animal in a very small space, in a very small pen, would be osur. And everybody agrees that catching in a slightly bigger pen would not be osur. Right, there's not any machlokes. No?
It would be mutter to
shepherd this deer into a large pen, because then it's in a large pen, it's not really caught again, right? Hechi dami biber katan vehechi dami biber gadol. What counts as small and what counts as a large pen? Amar Ravashi said kol hecha de rahit abasra umati la bechad shichya biber katan veidach biber gadol. Right. Basically, if any pen which is constructed in such a way that when you pursue the animal, it's not going to be able to get away from you, right, has nowhere to run, that's a small pen. Any pen which is large enough that it will have somewhere to run, that's a large pen. Okay? Inami, or maybe, kol hecha de'ika okze okze, bibar gadol ve'idach, maybe any time that you have a pen which has many corners, that's going to be on the biber gadol. If it's so small that it really only has a few corners, that'll be a biber katan. Meaning in the standard way that people construct things, right? If it's very small, then the walls are going to be close together. There's not going to be so many corners, or it'll be basically just a square. But if it's very, very large, and it'll sort of wake its way around obstacles and things like that, then that counts as a biber gadol. Okay? Inami, or maybe here's a third definition. Kol hecha de nafli tula de chasli ahadade biber katan v'idach biber gadol. If it's small enough that the shade of the fences falls on the next fence, that's called a biber katan. And if the shade of the fences does not fall on the next fence, that's a biber gadol. Okay. Three separate definitions. Not totally... I'm not convinced there's actually a difference between them. It might just be the same thing. Anyway, Seder. Okay. Let's continue. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Kol Habibarin Shav ben Vechule. So we have the opinion of Rashbag, remember. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said the name of Yehuda, said the name of Shmuel, Allah, Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, the halacha is like Rashbag. Amar le Abaye halacha mikal tepliki. Rabaye said immediately, but that sounds like, if you're saying the halacha is like him and not him, then that implies that they were in fact disagreeing, right? Amar le, oh my nafka lachmina, says, why not? What's the problem? What do you think is the difference between their positions? Amar le, dmara gamur zmurta tehei. He says, when you're teaching a little kid, right? And you want to teach them something so they remember it, so you make it into a song. Sigmar, Tagmur, Zmur, Tay, are you just singing? Right? Or do you really, really, really want to sit down and understand things properly? As with the position of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel is an accepted position. There's no disagreement that we accept the opinion of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, but it still matters if Chachamim disagreed with him. Right? If they had a different position. The answer is there a practical distinction between saying there was disagreement or not? No, because we pass in like Rashbag. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you don't care. Right? That's the question of whether he disagreed with someone is still significant. says Zeklal. This is general rule. Mechusar Teda v'chudei heichi nami mechusar Teda. What's the case of mechusar Teda? What counts as mechusar Teda? Remember, we said that Rabbi Bad said that if it's mechusar Teda, if you haven't fully caught it, then that's mutter. What counts as mechusar Teda? Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel Rav Yosef, Neimar Rav Yehuda, Shmuel Kol Sheomer Haba Metzuda Venetzuda Havei Metzuda Venetzudenu. Any time that somebody's going to say, "Bring me the trap that I need to catch this animal, and we'll catch it." Meaning, any time you haven't caught it, it's very simple. If somebody would say, "Bring me the trap so I can catch it," then it's mechusar Teda. And if they don't say that, then it isn't mechusar Teda. It's already been caught. It's very reasonable. Amar Le Abaye, Abaye responded, "Veha ochazin v'sarnagolin, ovzin v'sarnagolin." Sha'omrim ha'veh metzuda nezaden v'sanya hatzad ovzin v'sarnagolin v'yonei ha'deris hardisa'ois potters. Abaye, Abaye responded, "But wait, when it comes to ducks, right, and chickens, right, normally people do say, 'Bring me the trap so I can catch it.' And even so, we assume that if somebody catches ducks, chickens, or this these doves, right? They're a type of dove, then you are potter on Yom Tov, right? That's already mechusar Teda, even though you need special gear to catch them wherever you got them. But they're a domesticated animal. Amar Rabba Baravuna, Amar Shmuel, Rabba Baravuna said name Shmuel, Halalu Bain Lichluvan Le'erev, Halalu Bain Lichluvan Le'erev. The distinction is that those birds, if you don't catch them, then they'll return to their coop at night to sleep, right? They're a domesticated bird. So you might not know where they are right now, but you know what they'll be in a few hours. Or you might not have them caught right now, but you'll have them caught in a few hours on their own. They'll do it for you, as opposed to other birds where you really need to catch them. So therefore, if you need gear to catch them, that's a sign that they have not been caught. Right? And these birds are inherently caught birds. They're domesticated, they live under human supervision, and therefore you don't have to worry about them flying off somewhere else. It says, but wait, what about Yoni Shovach, doves that live in a what's it called again? I'm blanking on the name, which is annoying, but a Shovach is a
dove cage.
Sorry? That's the one, yes. Right, basically, if you look around them, you can see them, they're all over Yehudah v'Shomron. Right, I would be surprised if you haven't been taken on to one already, but you might not have. They're these gigantic. Basically, what they would do is they would drill down into a mountain that's usually about 20 to 50 meters wide, and they would fill the walls of it with little holes where the doves would live. Right, that's called a shuvah. Right, they live there. Right, they fly around all day, they go and eat whatever, they're wild birds, but they live there, they come back at night. It was made for them and they'll live there. Right? Yone Aliyah, doves that live in your attic, similar, right? Or, right, see, Purim Shekhanu B'tvichim B'viris, right? Birds that live in, birds that have settled in birdhouses and things like that, they've set up their nests in specific places in cities, right, in buildings, right? If you catch those birds, you're a chayiv, you're obligated. Even though they return to where they are originally, they'll return to the same place every night. Ella, rather, Amar Rabba Baravuna, Amar Shmuel, Rabba Baravuna said in the name of Shmuel, Halalu Ba'in Lichluvan Le'erev U'minazanasan Alecha, U'halalu Ba'in Lichluvan Le'erev U'minazanasan Alecha. The distinction is whether they come to their coop, their chicken coop, or their whatever, wherever they're living, at night, and whether you're responsible for feeding them. But chickens, ducks, and these yoni hadrosais, this type of dove, right? Not only do they return to where they're sleeping, to the same location every night, you're responsible for feeding them. The other birds, like I said, are wild birds. They feed themselves. You don't need to feed them. It's just that they will return to the same place. That's insufficient, right? That's not sufficient signs of domestication to make it that catching them doesn't really count as catching them. Okay? Any questions? So Rabba Mari, Rav Mari Amar, so Rav Mari said, Hane avidi le rebuye, vehane lo avidi le rebuye. No. Right? The distinction is where they'll run away. right? Those doves that live, the wild doves of various sorts, or birds that have made their nest somewhere, sure, they respond to us, they return to the same place, but they also run away from you. Right, these are birds that will run away when you try to catch them, whereas the truly domesticated birds that we discussed, they will not run away when you try to catch them. Therefore, even though you need some sort of special gear, they don't run away.
What's the difference between Yone Shobaka and Yone Yamlu?
Yone Shobaka are ones that live in this gigantic cup tower that I described, right? And the Yone Yamlu just live in an attic, in somebody's attic. There's no difference. They're the same thing, but they're just living in different places, right? So the Gemara responds, Kula Nami Abilir Boyi! Right? Any bird will run away. When you try to grab a bird, they run away. If you've gone to a petting zoo, right? So the chickens don't usually hang around for you to grab them. Right? They run. The response was, no! Sure, they'll run away, but they'll run away to the coo. In other words, they'll run away, but they'll run away to their home, which you've built for them, as opposed to doves, which will fly away to somewhere else. Right? They will try to get, they'll actually try to get away from you. Right? Toiv. Continue the Mishnah. Metzudos chaya ve'oif ve'dagim she'asan mi'erev yom tov le'yitol mi'hen ve'yom tov elim ken yodea she'nitzoidu mi'erev yom tov. Right, so traps for a chaya and an oif, right, for animals and for birds and for fish that were made from before yom tov, you shouldn't take animals from that we found within them on yom tov, right, unless you know for a fact they were there from before yom tov came in. Right, we'll see the reason why second. And there was a case where a Nochri, a guy, brought fish to Rabbi Gamliel. And he said, Mutarinein. He said, they are mutter. Right? The Rabbi Gamliel said, it's mutter. You can eat them. However, I don't want to receive them from them. I don't want to eat them. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Maisa Listor. Wait, the story with Rabban Gamliel contradicts the basic message of the Mishnah that we articulated. Normally when the Gemara Mishnah brings a story... Very good. Normally when a Mishnah brings a story, it proves the point, or, you know, adds an add dimension or something. It supports. It doesn't contradict. Here is a story which contradicts. And the truth is, there are many cases in the Mishnah brings a story which contradicts, but the answer is the Gemara seems to have a tradition that that cannot be. Because the Gemara every single time asks my solicitor. The response, Chesuri Mechzer Achisani. Right, there's words missing from the Mishnah, says the Gemara. Safek Muchan Aser Verav Liel Matir. The Mishnah should have included the following words. Somebody made a mistake, right? If it's Safek Muchan, right, we're not sure if it was there from there before Yom Tov, then it's Aser, right? That's what the Mishnah said. Unless you're sure it was trapped before Yom Tov, these animals were caught in the trap before Yom Tov, you cannot assume they were and you cannot catch them. V'Rabban Gamliel Matir, Rabban Gamliel says it's Safek, it's Mutter. Right, you can take advantage, and that's why Rabban Gamliel said it's Mutter, but I don't want to take advantage of it this time. And then there is a story which proves the point that Rabbi Gamliel disagreed with the Chamim in the case of Safek. In case we were not sure if it was trapped from before Yom Tov or not. Right? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Ain halacha Rabbi Gamliel. In this case, halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel. Vika de Masnila had a sanya safik mukhan ramil matir, the Rabbi Yeshua Oiser, Amarab Yoda Mashua, Allah, Rabbi Yeshua. Right? There are some people who taught it as a more general method, and here we try to start to get to the reason for the Mishnah, right? Right? Safik mukhan, if there's something we're not sure if it was mukhan, if we're not sure that it was set aside for use before Yom Tov, meaning we're not sure if it's what halacha should apply to it, if it's mukhan or not. What's the opposite of mukhan, halachically? Discussed this a lot in the first parak. Muktzah, right? If it's not mukhan, if it's not ready for use on Yom Tov, it's muktzah, right? So it says safek mukhan. We're not sure if it's mukhan or it's muktzah. Rav Liel says mutter. Rabbi Yeshua says no aser. Safek muktzah l'chumra. What din? Even though it's only din derabban. Rabbi Yehuda says Nei Shmuel. The halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. If we're not sure if something's muktzah or not, right? An object which usually would be muktzah, you've got reason to think this is not, but you're not certain. Right, then right, the halacha is you should be makar yishushim if you assume it actually is muktzah. Right, and that's the reason the Mishnah as well. Right, animals which are not caught before Yom Tov are muktzah. Right, wild animals. Right? There are some people told it about a different case. Right, shochtin min hanagarin beyom tov alay mirashas min achamachmurays Rav Shimon ben Elazar Imer bo matzalam mekul kolin be'erv yom tov be'adu Hashem erv yom tov nitzaydu umutarin bo matzalam mekul kolin be'yom tov be'adu Hashem erv yom tov nitzaydu ve'asurin. So the Gemara says, right, you can shecht animals that were caught in a pen on Yom Tov, right? They're not mukta; they were put there before Yom Tov for that purpose. However, if they were caught in a trap, it gives different types of traps, right? In a net or in some sort of other sort of trap. I don't know exactly how machmor works; doesn't matter for our purposes, right? Right, Rabbi Shimon. Then you cannot catch shecht them on Yom Tov because they're mukta. Right, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, if you found them before Yom Tov, you can. And if you can't, if you didn't, if you found them trapped on Yom Tov, before Yom Tov, then you know that they were trapped before Yom Tov, and then you know you found them in the trap already before Yom Tov. Mutter. However, you found them on Yom Tov itself, then you can assume be'adua. It's obvious they were caught on Yom Tov, and they are aser. So the Gemara is going to continue the discussion here, but we will stop at the moment and continue, please God, tomorrow.